feel seen and heard and in a community. And so we're very, I mean, I'm very lucky to be able to hopefully do that for somebody.
Yeah.
So is this event open to everyone? Is it?
Yes, it is open to everybody. No matter what you identify as, no one's asking you any questions. It is International Women's Day, but also we do our biggest moves with our allies.
Yep.
So as long as you care about people and you care about humans, just come out. You are invited. Everyone's invited. We have kids that are invited. We have adults. Whatever it is, as long as you can turn up, you are invited, and we're welcoming you, and we're so excited to have anybody. Everybody's welcome.
Great. Do you have a website or social media that you can share where people can find out more information?
We do. Our website is www.vancouverwomensday.ca. We do have an Instagram and some social medias. Our Instagram was unfortunately this weekend we just hacked, had some technical difficulties, but it is back up there.
Oh, good.
Our Instagram is at IWDMarchVan, so you can find us there.
Great. So once more, tell me when the event is happening and what people can expect there.
The event is happening March 3rd from 12 to 4, Vancouver Art Gallery, the North Stairs. You expect welcoming, you expect speeches, you expect performances and entertainments. We're going to have sign making, we're going to have a kids corner, and we're just going to have just people coming together and joining hands and joining hearts. And then we're going to have a rally that goes from the gallery to Drake and then back to the gallery as our end point. So more than anything, you expect community and you expect people that are coming together for the same purpose and hopefully to achieve something quite grand.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like an awesome event.
We're very excited.
We are.
They've got really great turnouts in years past, so hopefully we'll be seeing that too.
Yeah, we hope so. Everyone should come, please. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for coming and telling us about it today. Just before we go, we're going to hit people with the time and place one more time and your socials, and just tell me who you are again.
Absolutely. I am Carissa from the International Women's Day Committee. You can come and find us at the Vancouver Art Gallery North Plaza, Sunday, March 3rd from 12 to 4.
Great. Thanks so much for coming.
Yes, and I am Orofo Lua, Administrative Director of the International Women's Day. As Carissa said, it's from 12 to 4. Our Instagram will have the route details. It will have a list of our speakers, and we have a highlight that tells you what to expect. So our Instagram is at IWDMarchVan. So that is IWDMarchVan. And our website is VancouverWomensDay.ca.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming in today, and I look forward to a really great march on Sunday.
Yes, perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Excellent. All right. Well, we are here with Intravenous, and we will be carrying on with some great more programming here. This is Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. Dr. Clinton Francis is a sensory ecologist who studies how noise pollution affects birds, like this black-headed grosbeak. He says sounds from machines and vehicles can really disrupt bird behavior because, for most birds, their sense of hearing isn't very good.
Even though birds do rely on acoustics and hearing quite strongly, your typical bird hears about half as well as we do.
Birds rely on their hearing to sense predators and prey and for mating. They need to hear each other's songs and calls in order to communicate and find each other. That makes them very sensitive to noise pollution. Clinton says some species, like the black-headed grosbeak, will just avoid places that get too loud for them.
in our long-term study sites in New Mexico, where we've studied how noise from essentially the energy sector restructures bird communities, we see a complete loss of about one-third of species in noise-polluted areas.
But Clinton says there are lots of ways to help, from switching to quieter electric vehicles to using lawn equipment outside of morning hours when birds are singing the most. Rakes are strongly encouraged. Or just leave the leaves. Learn more about what you can do to reduce noise pollution on a special season of the Bring Birds Back podcast. Listen in your favorite podcast app or at birdnote.org. I'm Tasha Lawson.
What is your opinion about paper books and electronic books?
Hi, my name is AJ. Paper books are more authentic, I guess, and electronic books are easy to carry. So if you're like a bookworm, it's easy to just keep up with all the book trends and everything. But I'm more like a visual person. I like to a hands-on person. So I like to have the book itself to be able to concentrate on everything. But yeah, the online book is not really for me. Even though it's good for textbooks, they're cheaper.
My name is Joshua. I think electronic books are more accessible nowadays, especially with how technology has grown. So I feel like they've become more popular in recent years compared to physical books. I would say at the start of COVID, I would say paper books. But as we transition through online, I would say ebooks now. I think it's just the convenience of having it on my screen while I'm doing my work. So it's a lot easier, yeah.
Hi, I'm Shivka. I'm a fourth year here at SFU. I love a good paper book, but I do find myself using more ebooks recently just because it's more convenient and easy to read on the go. Like when you're on the bus, you don't have a whole thick book with you, just having your iPad and scrolling through, that's so much easier. But like the smell of the paper, if you know what I mean, from a real book, that's something I truly enjoy.
And the feeling of the writing is totally different from...
Yes, I feel much more connected to a book when I have it like physically in my hand as opposed to it just being like on my iPad. So yeah, it differs with papers too. Like when you're reading them for class, I read a lot because I'm in health sciences, and if I'm reading the actual paper in my hand, I'm like much more likely to remember it than just that on my iPad. So it's definitely different.
What is your opinion about paper book and electronic books?
My name's Sakaraj Garcha. I've only used online textbooks so far. This is my first semester, and I would say they're a lot easier, at least like in grade 12 when I'd have to be flipping through pages to find stuff. With e-textbooks, I can just hit Command F and like find a spot I'm looking for. So it's a lot more convenient.
How about paper books?
I feel like it's a lot more work and you have to carry them around, things like that. I'm not really a fan of them.
My name is Imani. I personally like electronic books a lot more. I would say just because I use all my technology, so I can bring my textbooks everywhere and not have like the heavy weight in my bag. I like paper books because I can write in them and I just like the feeling of them, but they are heavy and also more expensive usually. So I do kind of miss the paper writing, so I got a paper screen protector for my iPad, so then it kind of feels like paper, but I do really like the paper writing, which is kind of something I miss about the electronic books, I think.
Where's the definition? I saw it on this page's last class. Where is that? I can't find it. Oh, I wanna die. Tomorrow is the due date. But I still couldn't find the definition. Anybody helps me?
It is easy to find the students who have the study stress before or after the deadlines or the other modern stress his people's mind find Work, Wellness, and Disability Prevention Institute that could have some of the professions help you get out of the stress or decrease the several extent of them. Finding at work wellness, and disabilitypreventioninstitute.org.
Something curious, something cultural, something unserious, sometimes serious, something mundane, something everyday, though not even really that. Tune into Typically Tuesdays, airing every Monday, you heard that right, Monday, from 3 to 4 p.m., your hour of quasi-cerebral talk and tunes.
And now we're going to bring you a little documentary about radio in Canada in the 50s and the impact it had on people's lives, particularly women's lives. This is created by Elaine Harder as part of a series created for CJSF, and it is called Goodnight, Irene.
This is London. You will now hear a statement by the Prime Minister.
I am speaking to you from the Cabinet Room at 10 Downing Street. This morning, the British ambassador in Berlin handed the German government a final note stating that unless we heard from them by 11 o'clock, that they were prepared at once to withdraw their troops from Poland, a state of war would exist between us. I have to tell you now that no such undertaking has been received, and that consequently this country is at war with Germany.
Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain's declaration of war on Germany had a great impact on the world. One of the listeners that day was Marianne Roach, a 10-year-old girl who lived on the Canadian prairies, in an isolated Canadian prairie town where, up until that point in time, her family's only source of news came in the form of a newspaper that her father got when he went into town once a month to pick up sundries at the general store. Little did she know that technology in her home was about to change her world.
I was about 10 years old, and it was so exciting. I had been in the hospital, and when I got home, they had this thing that talked.
In tonight's documentary, I'm speaking with Marianne Jorgensen, originally of McGee, Saskatchewan, a small prairie town south of Saskatoon. Following in the footsteps of her older sisters, Marianne left home as a young woman to seek training for a vocation. She chose to go to Rosetown, Saskatchewan, where she roomed with an older sister, Irene, while she got her certification as a hairdresser. After receiving her training and her certification, she moved on to bigger and better things. Like all great love stories, she packed her bags and headed west, where she was a hairdresser in downtown Vancouver for 3 years, up until the time she got married and eventually made her way to the United States, where she raised her 3 children. With radio being both a new technology and newly available to the masses, this was to be the first war that was widely broadcasted around the world. Because of this, it was exciting to anyone who tuned in. But here at home in Canada, it was especially exciting because it kept people informed of what was going on at war and what was going on around the world. But it wasn't only coverage of the war that was so exciting and consoling for people. For the first time, listeners were experiencing entertainment coming into their homes through comedies and radio dramas and concerts Having experienced the hardships and the depression that the Dirty 30s brought, people needed to laugh and they needed to just have some joy in their life. Aside from news coverage, it brought laughter back into the home, and it helped people forget about their worries just for a little bit, even if only for that 1 hour.
Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and Don, I don't know where you pick up all this information about me. Now, how did you find out that I bought a racehorse?
Well, Jack, I was talking to Bing Crosby the other day, and he just happened to mention it.
Oh, yes, Bing knows about it. As a matter of fact, I've been trying to put my horse in Crosby's stable, but it's too crowded.
Crosby has an enormous stable. There's plenty of room there for your horse.
All right, then he wanted too much money. I wouldn't pay him $80 a week to board my horse if he sang it to sleep every night.
Light up, Lucky.
It's light up time.
Be happy, go lucky.
It's light up time.
For the taste that you like, light up a Lucky Strike.
Relax.
It's light up time.
Comedy and radio dramas of the 1930s gave everyone a reprieve from the dirty 30s and from the hard times and the hard days of working the land, and giving Marion's parents a night of laughter.
They loved it. Just the fun of having something to listen to. I always remember how we used to laugh at the things they'd put on radio.
Are you ready?
As soon as I get my hat, dearie.
Well, hurry up, Molly. This is the most important meeting since I've been chamber of the president of the Chamber of Commerce. Where's my speech?
In your portfolio.
Yeah, I know, but where's my portfolio? Oh, I know. It's right here in the hall of glass. Straighten out this closet one of these days.
It was a common occurrence for Fibber McGee to go in search of something in the hall closet, only to end up with everything on his head. These skits were also lodged in Marion's memory.
Oh, I do remember that. That was close to my heart. It was our life in a way.
Aside from the entertainment that was much awaited in the homes, it was the evening broadcast and news of the war that brought families and neighbors together under the same roof, awaiting news in anticipation of loved ones fighting the war overseas.
Our neighbors were from England, and they just waited for that BBC news. See, that's British Broadcasting Corporation.
Right.
And they loved that because that was their hometown in England.
The mere presence of radios in many homes across Canada and the access to regular daily broadcasts not only brought news of the war, but essentially it changed people's lives.
It had a great effect on the parents. You know, so many soldiers getting killed, and it was a sad time, really.
In Marion's case, as a 10-year-old girl, it gave her a wider scope of the world and made her think differently about that world.
Well, I knew there was trouble in it, that's for sure. You just wonder, what was going on?
Prior to Marion's exposure to radio in her home, newspapers were her sole source for entertainment and for news. However, once radio came into her life as the sole source for entertainment and news, things changed for Marion.
We got the newspaper, we read it. Of course, we could visualize things then, too. But when the radio came in, it was live, and it was much more interesting.
It's not always that you can have delicious things to eat and to save money at the same time, but sometimes you can. And Jell-O makes the most attractive desserts and salads you ever tasted, and Jell-O is amazingly inexpensive. It costs only a few cents a package. One package serves the average family generously, and they love it. Jell-O is America's favorite gelatin dessert, and no wonder. For only Jell-O brings you Jell-O's delicious extra rich fruit flavor. Strawberry, raspberry, cherry, orange, lemon, and lime. All six are packed with that ripe fruit goodness, fresh and tempting and satisfying. So for that extra rich fruit flavor, and for one of the most economical desserts you can serve, be sure to get genuine Jell-O. Don't accept any substitutes. Look for the big red letters on the box. They spell Jell-O.
Although television was available in a rather experimental form in the 1920s, it was after World War II that they became widely available for public consumption. And it was during the 50s that television became a primary medium for influencing public opinion. What was it like for you when television came in? Did you find that it pushed radio aside?
Well, it did, but everybody still had their radio because they put it in the cars. And no matter where you went, you heard the radio, you know.
Like any new technology in history, it becomes the talk of the town. And it was no different for a small town girl on the Canadian prairie.
One person would have tell one thing that they saw on radio, and somebody else would tell you something else. So in a way, it was kind of an education. It was our life, in a way. It opened up the world to you.
As our conversation was coming to a close, Marion spoke of radio and how it had influenced the big picture of her life.
I think that's where I got the idea of being a hairdresser. They would have really good programs that you almost could visualize it in your head, you know?
And now a message from our sponsor. Ladies, tired of drying your hair with the same old vacuum cleaner? Try Avanshave brand new Beauty Locks portable hair dryer. It's smaller, it's faster, it's guaranteed to give you the hair you've always wanted in half the time. Beauty Locks is delicate and dainty, just like you. The dryer weighs only a pound and easily fits in your hand. Now that's beauty and convenience. With a speedy motor that will dry your hair in as little as 25 minutes, you can get gorgeous hair without falling behind schedule. Don't worry about the little ones or that pie in the oven. Thanks to an extra-long extension cord, you can move around while primping your locks. Forget those long trips to the salon and no more waiting for hours under monster machines. Avanshave gives you an easy and speedy hairdo that will blow your man away. Get it now at your nearest Macy's.
I've been talking with Marion Jorgensen of Vancouver, B.C., originally of McGee, Saskatchewan. We have been talking about how radio inspired her as a young woman to leave the farm and to go out into the world. How inspiring you are, Auntie Mamie. And now I believe it is time to say goodnight. So, say goodnight, Irene.
Yeah, goodnight. Thanks for tuning in.
What's that song? Irene, goodnight, Irene.
Goodnight.
Goodnight, Irene.
I'll see you in my dream.
Goodnight, Irene.
Another stroll downtown. Sometimes I live in town.
version of Goodnight Irene was recorded in 1950 by the Weavers. Although the origins of this song are not known, it's a song that was made famous by Leadbelly in the 1930s. This documentary was produced with the support and assistance of CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, BC, and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. The comedy skits have been from Fibber McGee and Molly, 1938, and Jack Benny, 1937. The radio commercials used in this documentary are from the 1920s and 1930s. Lucky Strike cigarettes, Beauty Locks hair dryer, and Jell-O desserts.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Lots of people feel refreshed after a three-day weekend. How about having one every week? Almost 200 companies around the world have completed six-month trials of a four-day work week, with no reductions in employee pay. So far, the results are promising.
Stress, burnout, mental health, physical health, job satisfaction, all of those going in the right directions.
Juliet Shore is an economist and sociologist at Boston College and is leading the trials in collaboration with the nonprofit 4-Day Week Global. Their results suggest that the shorter work week has also had modest climate benefits. On average, participants spent a little less time commuting by car, and many reported that they spent more time on climate-friendly activities, such as biking and walking, instead of driving. Most companies have been able to implement the changes without sacrificing productivity. But Shore says other studies she's done suggest that working less while also rethinking our cultural drive to produce so much could yield larger reductions in carbon pollution.
We get a climate benefit and people get a well-being benefit. So I'd like to see work time reduction in the climate discourse in a much bigger way than it has been.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
And thank you for tuning in to Intravenous this morning. Please don't forget the International Women's March is taking place this Sunday, March the 3rd, 12 noon, at the north side of the Vancouver Art Gallery at the big plaza there on Georgia Street. And there will be speakers and music and games for kids and lots of other great stuff. Plus, they will be doing a march around town. So get down there. The rally kicks off at 12 noon. The march starts at 2 o'clock. Lots happening in between. Show your support for women here in Canada, Vancouver, and around the world by coming out and participating in the march. We're going to leave you now with some Annie DeFranco. This is from her classic album, Little Plastic Castle. And this is the title track. Democracy Now! Is coming up in just a moment.
In a coffee shop in a city, which is every coffee shop in every city, on a day which is every day, I picked up a magazine, which is every magazine. I read a story, then I forgot it right away. And they say goldfish have no memory. I guess their lives are much like mine. And the little plastic castle is a surprise every time. And it's hard to say if they're happy, but they don't seem much to mind. Yeah!
From the shape of your shaved head, I recognized your silhouette as you walked out of the sun.